work on causal inference and indirect effects, and I'm going to be talking about confounding of indirect effects and how they might actually impact data in the real world. So first I'll start by defining an indirect effect, and that'll help too. So in epidemiology, we're often concerned about main effects, that is, the impact of an exposure, X, on a disease, Y. But we also might be interested in how that exposure causes the effect. So in that case, we would be interested in the pathways that explain that main effect. For instance, we might be interested in how an exposure X causes a mediator M, which then causes a disease Y. And that's what we're referring to as the indirect effect. So what we think we have are those three variables that I just showed you, exposure, mediator, and outcome. But there also might be a fourth variable, a common cause of the mediator and disease. And as you'll see in a minute, that's a confounder, C, of the mediator-disease relationship. There it is. So that would lead to the appearance of an association between the mediator and disease, even if the mediator didn't actually cause disease. So that would lead to a bias of indirect and direct effect estimates, but it wouldn't actually bias the main effect. That's why we don't talk about it a lot in epidemiology. And it actually would not be a problem in a randomized controlled trial, because randomization of the exposure would not help. It would be problematic even when the exposure is randomized. Okay. So many investigators have shown that confounding of the mediator can be problematic and have warned people about investigating mediation. But our question is, how much bias would such confounding of the mediator cause? So in other words, how much confounding would it take to explain an observed indirect effect? And Blakely in 2002 said that there was an urgent need for this kind of research. So we know that it can cause bias, but the question is, what is the magnitude and direction of that bias? And that's his quote right there. So the question that we wanted to ask is, how much of a threat does confounding of the indirect effect pose under real-world circumstances? So should we be concerned about this when we're doing mediation analyses? And so the basic approach was to develop a sensitivity analysis program. So we developed it in SAS, and I'm sorry that that's taking a minute, but we developed it in SAS, and the basic point of the sensitivity analysis program is to take your observed results and ask, well, what impact could confounding have on these results? And to demonstrate this, we reassessed the results from two well-known mediation studies, and we chose these studies because they're really used a lot in the methodological literature on mediation. So first we'll talk about the methods for the sensitivity analysis, in particular the inputs and the outputs. Okay, the inputs, it's like a lag time, but the inputs are the observed risks. So this is what you would get from a study on mediation just from your data. So you would see what the risk of the mediator in the exposed and the unexposed was, and then you would also see what the risk of disease in the exposure and mediator subgroups were. So for instance, the risk of disease in the unexposed mediator negative, and we denote that Y00. The second set of inputs are the confounder characteristics. So this is the characteristics of that common cause of the mediator and disease. So for example, what is the prevalence of such a confounder? Well, we often don't know that information because we haven't actually measured and adjusted for this confounder, obviously. So the sensitivity analysis program tests a range of possible confounder prevalences, from quite rare at 1% to very common at 80%. The second question is, how much does a confounder interact with exposure and mediator? And investigators generally don't know that either, so we allow a range of flexibility with regards to this. And note that this is a departure from past work that has assumed perfect additivity or perfect sensitivity. Okay, so the first output that we get are quite simple. They're the observed effects. So first is the observed effect of exposure on disease. Second is the indirect effect, and we're going to define this as the pure indirect effect, which is the effect of the exposure on the mediator, which is M1 minus M0, times the effect of the mediator on the outcome. And that's sort of a simple definition of indirect effect that you might have seen before. So then next is the proportion explained, and that's the proportion of the total effect of exposure that is explained through the pathway through the mediator. And so these are what we observe in the data. The next set of inputs are the true indirect effects, and that's what would be consistent with the observed given different levels of confounding. So for each possible confounding scenario, and by confounding scenario I mean the confounder characteristics that I defined before, prevalence and interaction model, as well as the strength of the confounder, so the confounder mediator and confounder disease risk ratios, there's going to be a different true indirect effect that's consistent with that. And what we really want to know is, when is this indirect effect zero, even when what we observed was greater than zero, because that would really change our interpretation of whether this exposure-disease relationship is mediated by a particular variable. So the first example we're going to apply this to is from Friedman et al. In 1992. And what they did was analyze a randomized controlled trial looking at the effect of cholestyramine on decreased coronary heart disease. And what they were interested in is whether this was mediated by the hypothesized pathway, which was lowered serum cholesterol. So just a minor detail, we're going to recode this because we're interested in harmful exposures. That's what the sensitivity analysis deals with. And so the R exposure is actually going to be the placebo, which leads to increased serum cholesterol. You didn't see that, but leads to increased coronary heart disease. Okay, so let's look at the observed risks. And this is going to be what you get from the study, and they're the inputs into the sensitivity analysis. And the actual numbers aren't important. Next are the observed effects. So these are the main effect, the indirect effect, and the proportion explained. And the thing I'm going to be talking about is the proportion explained, which says that 28% of the effect of cholestyramine on CHD was explained through lowered serum cholesterol. But then the question is, could that effect have been explained through confounding? And that question will be answered very soon. The answer to that question actually is yes. But the follow-up question would be, how much confounding would it take to explain this relationship? And the answer to that is it actually depends on the confounder characteristics. Come on. Okay, next I'm going to show you some graphs that show how it depends on confounder characteristics, specifically confounder prevalence. And who knows how long it will take those to load. So what I'm going to show you is a graph that shows the indirect effects that would be consistent with each level of confounding. So the y-axis will be the proportion explained by the indirect effects, and then the x-axis will be the confounder-disease relationship. Each of the different colors will be the confounder-mediator risk ratio. So the basic inputs into this graph are going to be the strength of the confounder mediator risk ratio, and the confounder disease risk ratio, and then the output will be the true indirect effect that's consistent with that. And again, we're concerned with true indirect effects that are equal to zero. And I wish I didn't have so much animation. And so we're concerned with the true indirect effect that's circled in purple, because that would be a true indirect effect that's equal to zero, even when the observed indirect effect is at the solid gray line, which is the observed pure indirect effect. I apologize for the small numbers. It's actually not important to be able to read the individual things. The most important is the shape of these curves and how the gray line, for instance, goes to zero when the confounder-mediator risk ratio is 5 and the confounder-disease risk ratio is 2.1. Now, the graph on the left is with a confounder of 20% prevalence. Now, I'm contrasting that with the graph on the right, which is a confounder of 80% prevalence. And the take-home message of this graph, or of this slide, is that the prevalence determines how much bias there's going to be. The shapes of those graphs are very different. And in fact, a confounder of 80% cannot explain the entire indirect effect. Okay, now on to our second example. This is a vision loss example. What they did was analyze a randomized controlled trial looking at the effect of interferon alpha on vision loss at 12 months. They actually thought it would be protective. It ended up being harmful. And so they were concerned about whether this would be mediated by vision loss at 6 months. So that's the basic relationship we're looking at. Again, we have our observed risks from the study, and those will be the inputs into the sensitivity analysis. And we have our observed effects, which the most important one, again, is the proportion explained. And as you'll see in a moment, that proportion explained is 69%. So that means that the total effect, 69% of the total effect of interferon alpha on vision loss at 12 months is explained by vision loss at 6 months. So again, the question is, could confounding possibly explain this observed indirect effect? And this time the answer is actually only under very limited conditions. So it turns out to only occur in certain interaction models when the confounder is quite prevalent, actually, and with very strong miss ratios. And I'll just show a few slides comparing what we saw with the CHD example with the vision loss example. So this is with a confounder of 40%. And with the CHD example, again, you see that many lines cross zero. And so an example of one of those lines is, again, the gray line that would explain the entire observed relationship. Now, this is in contrast with the vision loss example, where there is the possibility of explaining the entire relationship with the red dashed line, but you see that it requires much greater risk ratios, so like confounder-mediator risk ratio of 20, confounder-disease risk ratio of 12.3, and that wouldn't be considered plausible under many circumstances. So if you did this study, it would be very helpful to know, well, it's quite unlikely that my results are explained by confounding. And in fact, if you look at a more rare confounder found in 20% of the population, it's actually not possible, same minute, that the vision loss could be explained by that due to observed prevalences. Okay, so in summary, the CHD example is slightly vulnerable to confounding. So what we showed here was a pretty strong confounder, right? Risk ratios of 5 and 2, but that might be considered plausible under many circumstances. However, it's interesting to note that the main effect of cholestyramine on CHD is actually more vulnerable to confounding than the indirect effect. So it's not something special for the indirect effect. And this is all in contrast to the vision loss example. All of this will come up in a minute. The vision loss example, where it was actually not very plausible that confounding would explain the entire indirect effect. So in conclusion, the assessment of mediation is not hopeless. And I don't know if you are familiar with the methodological literature from epidemiology, but there's been a lot of criticism of assessing mediation, even though it's done in practice frequently. And actually, the main effect is more vulnerable to confounding than the indirect effect under many circumstances. But at the same time, results, indirect effects can, or confounding does represent a viable alternative explanation in some situations. So even though it didn't in the vision loss example, it did in the CHD example. And so investigators should take the possibility of confounding of the mediator into account when assessing mediation. The best way to do this is to think about common causes of the mediator in disease and adjust for them, or measure them and adjust for them in your research. At the same time, you might use a sensitivity analysis like the one I've developed here to see how robust your results are to the effects of confounding. And I have all the SAS macros. I'm hopefully publishing it as part of my dissertation. And they're free to use if anybody's interested. So thank you very much.